first off, congratulations on getting the gig. And secondly, just hearing Berkey talk about walking the concourse as you're thinking about various. How many times have you made that walk in St. Louis specifically?
Yeah, well, I slept really well in St. Louis. Like, Doug didn't sleep that well, but I was able to get all my beauty sleep and everything in. Doug slept 3 hours. I got 10. But when you get into the chair, you just stop sleeping. Like, my first night, I got into the chair, I slept about 3 hours. So, you know, it's I remember when I worked for Peter Laviolette in the American League, and he didn't sleep very well, and I slept like a baby as the assistant coach. So that's just the way it is.
So we should expect some really deep Louis Vuitton bags under your eyes in the next couple of weeks as a lack of sleep becomes a reality for Bill Armstrong. I'm going to turn this over to Berkey because I always love hearing general managers talk to GM. So, Berkey, take it away.
Yeah, hey, Billy, congratulations.
Thanks, Berkey. Much appreciated.
My first year, I went and took time and went to meet with Bob Gainey. And Bob Gainey was the GM of the North Stars, and I just wanted some advice. And he said exactly what you just said. We sat and drank beer on the patio of his yard. His wife was still alive then. And it's a big mistake to drink beer with Bob Gainey. It's a big mistake. Yeah. Big mistake. Anyway, he said to me, he said, when you were Pat Quinn's assistant GM, you thought you helped him a lot, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I was the best assistant GM there was in the league. And he said, you didn't help him at all. Because all the weight goes over to you right away. And now you're feeling it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
What's first order of business? I see you made a personnel change.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to make sure that we get the right people for us in place that are going to help us move forward. And Berkey, you can identify this as being a GM, is that you live and breathe off your head pro guy and your head amateur guy. Those are the guys that, you know, if you're successful as a GM, those guys are successful below you. Those are two of your key guys that are pulling the trades and helping you at the draft. So, you know, as you come into the chair, you want to make sure you have your people in there that not only are going to help you acquire the right players, but they're also going to produce the right culture underneath you. And that's something I'm pretty familiar with, being in that role too. So for me, I just want to make sure in the next few weeks we get rolling about our structure, how we're going to draft, what we're going to draft, and the same thing on the pro side. And obviously we've got some meetings today, so I'll get updated with some of the personnel and hockey ops with doing their presentations on some of the players and some of the salaries and where we're moving, and give me some idea of what's out there. So it'll be a good, really hard 2 days of meetings.
Anthony Stewart.
Now that you're in the big chair now, are you going to take your time and take the patience approach, or are you planning on improving the roster right away?
Well, it's an interesting roster when you look at it, because what you have is you've got some really good younger players that are just coming into their own. And at the same time, you've got some older players that are still producing, but, you know, they're creeping up on age. So, you know, we have to go in and decipher on how to create some assets, because before me, the regime had lost some draft picks due to some NHL, I guess, fines or however they were levied against us, and they took draft picks away. So there's a little bit of a creative way that we have to go and acquire assets to stay in the game and make sure that we're still bringing players in, whether it's college free agents, it's European free agents, or it's through the draft. There's no excuses. I knew it before I took the job. We have to find a way to produce players through different avenues. So we'll be talking about that in the next 2 days, too.
How much conversation in your office is there about trying to recoup these picks somehow, some way?
That's a great question. Great question. Would you say go through the NHL, or are you talking about trying?
No, I'm talking about making moves to get. I mean, this, as you well know, it's a pretty deep draft this year. Next year's a good draft as well, and specifically a lot of defensemen. I mean, how much would you be looking at saying, you know what, we're gonna build this thing up. Best way to do it is through the draft. We need to make some moves to try to get back in the game here.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some room to move with some of the assets that you have on the team. You know, with contracts expiring at the end of the year, and teams would be, you know, excited about taking on some of those players. So we have to explore some of those avenues during our meetings the next 2 days and put that together and go out there and talk to the other GMs in the league. But really what you have is, you know, you've got to acquire some form of assets. We don't pick to the fourth round, and I personally have to stay out of that draft. That's not my, I can't have anything to do with it. So Steve Sullivan and Scott Walker are going to jump in there and run the draft. But we do have to do that. We've got to stay in the game. And like I said, there's no excuses. You have to find a way, whether you sign a college free agent, a European free agent, we have to find a way to bring players into this organization that are going to move us forward.
Berkey.
You've got a good setup, Army, with your AHL team just down the road. That's worked out pretty well for Arizona.
Yeah. Steve Sullivan's done a marvelous job down there. He's going to stay in place as the assistant GM, and he's got that running really well. So we want to keep that. And I love that fact that, you know, you can be here and you can drive an hour and a half down the road and watch your American League team. You're in the middle of the desert. It doesn't get any better because now you're seeing all your guys develop down there every night when you go down there to watch. And it's a quick jog up here for them if you need a recall. So it's an unbelievable setup. You know, the one thing that I didn't realize, I was so focused on the job that when I got off the plane, I was like, oh my God, it's a pretty beautiful place. it's a pretty stunning place, I got to be honest. But we're not selling that in the desert because I don't want to hear about the weather. What I want to hear about is you're coming to the desert to win a championship. And it starts from the moment I get in that chair. And, you know, every meeting I've ever run in St. Louis, you know, going back all the way to the days when Jarmo Kekäläinen and I worked, you know, put the Stanley Cup picture. That's the first thing we do every meeting. I'm a big believer in you know, you got to see that. That's your goal every day, and it's a hard one to win, but you got to see it every time you run a meeting, and you got to put it in your players' heads. We're here to win.
With Bill Armstrong, general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. So I was with someone from the St. Louis Blues organization the day before you were officially hired by the Arizona Coyotes, and he said, who are you hearing about in Arizona? And I said, I'm hearing it's your guy. And he was like, pause for a second. He said, oof, that's going to be a tough one for us. That's a huge loss. What did you learn? What did you gain from your time with St. Louis?
Well, first of all, I was around such great hockey people. Number one, Doug Armstrong. You know, I thanked him in the press conference, his investment in me to make me the head scout, to make me assistant GM. He is, to me, one of the best GMs in the league, just watching him. But you have to remember, my time in St. Louis, we'd have these meetings or councils or whatever, and you got to think about the people that were in there when you showed up to meet. You know, you got Marty Brodeur sometimes, Larry Robinson would show up. You got Dave Taylor in there. You got Al McGinnis. You got Keith Tkachuk. You know, Doug Armstrong, you know, is in there. It's just a mecca of hockey people, you know. And you know, myself with my experience at coaching and, you know, and in the American League and playing. And then you had Robbie DeMaio, who's in there, is a smart guy. Timmy Taylor's one. You know, I think three, you know, Stanley Cups. That's a great room that you're talking hockey. And the one thing I learned about that is, like, when you're discussing situations and trades, you better know what you're talking about because you've got greatness around you. You better be prepared in those meetings. And that's the one thing that I learned in St. Louis. The NHL is too big and too complex to one person. You got to have a sounding board, and you've got to have great people around you.
Stewie.
You mentioned that you were a big fan of Rick Tocchet growing up, and you have shared acquaintances and colleagues in Craig Berube. How does that affect your relationship now that you're technically his boss?
Well, I think we work together. You know, I've always had that approach with people. I'm not the guy that's going to stand over you. I can, if you need me to, I can do that. I got a little bite too, but for the most part, you know, I was a big fan growing up with Talk. I remember skating with him for the first time when I was a kid. Like, I was at power skating clinic with Cindy Bauer. I was like, whew, this is unreal. And just being drafted to the Flyers organization and see him play, my God, he was a great player. But he coaches the same way, and that's what I like about him. And we have mutual friends with Craig Berube in between us, you know. So I don't really know him as well yet, but I plan on meeting him for lunch and going over some things. I think we're going to have a great relationship. Plus, I've coached, so I think I have that ability to know when to approach and when not to and get the emotion out and let's get down to what we need to do. And I think it helps me when I deal with coaches because I know what they're thinking. You know, when you're a coach, you're only seeing today. You know, and when you're in my chair, you're seeing the future. You know, you're seeing the young kids come up and you can read that. When you're a coach, it's hard to see. I remember I had Andrew Raycroft and Nick Boynton in the American League, and they didn't look like NHL players their first year in the American League. You know, and they kept telling me, these guys are going to be good players for you. I'm like, I don't see it, you know? And then all of a sudden you see these kids mature and grow. And, And that's your job as a GM, is to open their eyes and see a little bit bigger picture than more than just today. This is what the kid's going to do down the future. And if you play him now, he's going to suck for 10 games, but on the 11th game, he's going to get into that role. So that's my job, to kind of help the coaches see that.
Last one for you here, and I can't let you escape without one junior hockey question. It's going to be the obvious one. Cops Coliseum, Oshawa Kitchener, 205, second overtime, 4-3 victory, the Generals over the Kitchener Rangers, and you're the hero. How many times have you thought about that goal? And B, how many times has your son said, enough, Dad, I don't want to hear about it anymore?
Oh, this is a great story about my son. We're in the middle of Boston, Massachusetts, where nobody knows about junior hockey coming out of this rink. And my son had all his Blues, St. Louis Blues stuff, and he was unloading it to get in the hotel. And the guy says, oh, you're a big Blues fan, huh? And my son just said, no, my dad works for the Blues, but I'm a Blues fan. He goes, oh, who's your dad? It's Bill Armstrong. He goes, oh, my God, he scored the overtime. My son just kept going. He's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like he's immune to that, you know. But I'll tell you, my son plays at BU, you know, and it's torture for him because he hears all the stories, you know, the winning and, you know, and the Calder. You know, he's heard them all. So he's a pretty driven kid, you know. He was in the bean pot last year, and they were in overtime, and he had a chance to end it, and he missed it. You know, and I was like, oh, man. I'm like, you know, he's like, you can see what I came out to the lobby to end up losing against Northeast. He's just head down, you know, my buddy just hanging there. You just keep throwing him, you'll get one of them. So it's, it's good. And he loves the game of hockey. So it's, he's had enough of the stories, though, that's for sure.